Holy moly, thank you for tuning in. If you are listening to the podcast, I'm actually recording this live on X at the moment. Sometimes I do this on YouTube, sometimes I do it on X. I just mess around with the metrics to see what works, what doesn't work. And if you look at my metrics, nothing works. So we just continue to move forward. That's all we can do. So there is some stuff going on in the ecosystem that I think is worth talking about. One, we have Jack Dorsey. He is leaving Blue Sky. Two, Michael Saylor. He thinks the SEC is going to approve the ETFs. He also thinks they are coming for your coins. TON blockchain is literally surging. Do we see a crypto boost from the weakening dollar moving forward? I am watching Jasmine Coin, ticker sign JASMY. WOV Labs launches a fashion line. We're going to scratch the surface with what that is. I have two new games I want to show you guys that are really interesting that are in the early stages. They're both crypto games. They are worth taking a look at. We have some big market movers like AIOZ Network. Haven't heard of it before. Ticker sign is AIOZ. JITO, ticker sign JTO. These are all moving like nobody's business. And on the downside, Saga, which is an interesting token because I think it is a great narrative. It is a gaming network. The token is down terrible. Book of Meme, aka ticker sign BOME. It is also down horrendous. And Celestia is not looking good at the moment. Chaos to clarity, noise to narrative. It is Tuesday, May 7th, and March, May 7th. Holy shit, we are almost in summer, and it is time for some rare bits. Today, the crypto greed and fear index is a 68. That's down 3 degrees from yesterday. We are still in the greed zone, so we will take it. NFT sentiment remains neutral. Top crypto search term for the normies is Layer AI. It is ticker sign LAI. It is another AI token. All of these tokens seem to have interesting narratives. It is worth looking into it, especially if the normies are searching for it. Sometimes they are on different wavelengths, so they are coming at it from possibly a stock portfolio perspective, getting into the AI game and the crypto game. It's interesting, these narratives. Why this metric is important, because it lets me know what the normies are searching for. Two, it also lets me understand how they got to this information. And our paths to arrive at a particular token are very different. If you are in the crypto space and if you are a normie that has nothing to do with this ecosystem, how you arrive at the same token is very interesting. And it tells a story of how close or how far we are away from normalization. And I will say this once again, we are nowhere near close to being there. When we stop using the word onboarding, that's when you know we're here. Not until then, not a moment before that. Bitcoin dominance, it's up on the 24 hours. ETH dominance, it's down on the 24 hours. Total crypto market cap is coming in at about $2.55 trillion. And now we are going to get into some numbers for the nerds. So, first, we are going to look at the crypto heat map, and holy moly, what just happened? It is a sea of red. We are looking at the one day. I'm going to pop out on the hour. It seems that sentiment has turned around a bit. Let's just pop out and look at the 7-day chart. Looks about the same. Oh, no, it doesn't. So Solana is looking really good on the 7-day, and we just click it out to the month real quick, give it a second to update. What looks good, what looks bad, and this has not been a good 30 days for the crypto market, though the last 12 days for Bitcoin has been better than it has been in the past. We are still looking at some volatility. Do we see this turning around? People are talking about the bull market is back. There are some really interesting indicators saying that we might be on the move to a brighter future. But we also have this sentiment, go away in May. And that is a sentiment for a reason. Do people lose interest over the summer months and decide to get into other things? Here's a narrative that I think is interesting, is that I think we're at this precipice where this summer we might actually have a changing of the guard. We might have this normalization where non-crypto people are finally going to scratch the surface. Maybe they're going to take their vacation time to read up on the blockchain, read the white paper on Bitcoin, read some of these narratives that are percolating into everyday lives, whether it's tokenization, real-world assets, whether it's putting your home ownership on a blockchain, whether it's getting your identification put on Bitcoin, whether it's getting your eyeball scanned to prove that you are a human and not an artificial intelligence. All of these things are playing out, and they're going to touch people in different ways, whether it's the gaming ecosystem, the real world asset ecosystem, the hedge fund ecosystem, the investment vehicle, right? All of these different narratives are going to touch people in different ways. So it is going to be interesting watching people move through this ecosystem. And this summer, hopefully people are going to do some research. Checking in on the numbers at this moment, we have Bitcoin trading at 63,000 flat, pretty much flat. Ethereum is trading 3,057, pretty much flat. We have BNB. It was over 600. It is retraced, coming back in at 584. Solana is at 152. We like that movement. But it's just not enough. We need some pumpskis. We need some pumpskis. Dogecoin, it's retraced a bit. Shiba Inu's retraced a bit. Everything's kind of in the red at the moment, but that's just kind of how shit goes. Next up, we are going to look at some of the top sales in the ecosystem. We saw CryptoPunk sell. We see D's Node. We saw a Bitcoin Mushroom sell. We see a Polygon ChipQ sell. When we look at the top moving NFT or digital art ecosystems, at the moment, Ethereum is ruling the roost, coming in at about $7.3 million in the last 24 hours. That is an 18% increase. We have Bitcoin coming in at $6.2 million. It has slid down 11% from yesterday. It was down about 30% the day before that. Solana is finally bumping up. We're coming up 6% on the 24 hours, trading at $4.2 million. Looking at the Ethereum heat map, you can see what's going on. If you are not watching, there's not much I can do about it. Like, it is how it is. I am using some visual tools to make this easier for people to understand. So if you're listening on the podcast, subscribe to my Substack, tune in on YouTube, or tune in on X and see what all the fuss is about. It is nice to see the heat map. What is interesting about this is a lot of times this top left spot is a large spot. We have an equilibrium across a lot of these collections where none of their volume is greatly outweighing the other, which I always find interesting. When we look at the top volume movers in the last 24 hours, we have Bored Ape, Mutant Ape, Pudgy Penguins, D-Gods, and CryptoPunks rounding out the top five, with Little Pudgy's coming in number six. Anything we want to double click on? Nah. You guys know what's going on. Nothing absolutely drastic. We do have Bored Ape kind of raising the bar. Their floor price is slowly moving up. I put out a video, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago. I just kind of felt the bottom was in for them. So hopefully they continue their movement forward. We are looking at the Solana heat map. And yesterday, the D-Gods square was dark red. It has since turned around into that glorious green. We like what we see. Wow. Mad Lads all the way down to 81 salamis. What is going on? I love the Mad Lads. I want to see them kick some dust up again. When we look at the top five movers in the ecosystem, SMB Gen 2, how are they on top? Their volume is up 114% on the 24 hours. We have Mall Street, Mad Lads, Mutant Mon, and D-Gods rounding out the top five. And we have Utes coming in number six, which we love to see. It is also so nice to see them back on the Salami blockchain. When we look at the Bitcoin movers, we have Blob, Runestone, Node Monkeys, Rune Pups, Bitcoin Puppets, Based Angels, Arsic Meta Protocol. You see what's going on. Not a ton of movement. There have, I think the most sales, it's interesting, Based Angels, it looks like there are 1,000 of these sales, 50 pending, which tells a story. First time I'm seeing these on the ecosystem. Awesome. These look like a Milady derivative, and they all have orange hair. So this is awesome. The Base Angels are currently trading at 0.0052 Bitcoin. That is about $308. It will be interesting to see where this price is at tomorrow in my Substack. Next up, this is awesome. So you guys in my Substack, a couple of things that I report on every morning is this, the top five moving blockchain games. And I do this for a number of reasons. One, because it's a narrative that tells a story of the underlying blockchain ecosystem that the games are sitting upon, whether it's Solana or Polygon or new contenders like Phantom. We have the Ronin blockchain. All of these blockchains represent different value properties for gamers. And it's nobody's found the answer. for their game yet, which is interesting. Everybody's building in silos, which is, that's just how things are. People are competing for the number one spot. And when you do that, you build in silos instead of building open source for everybody. Anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent. What is interesting, and I'm going to look at these two games. So we have Zoomania, which is the number one spot. It is still in development. It is up socially, right? Its social score has gone up 2,451 points in the last 24 hours. The next one we are going to look at, because I think it is really awesome, and it has moved from, no, Black Dawn. Okay, Black Dawn is the other one that we are going to look at, and Black Dawn is also in development, and this is interesting to me because it is an anime action MMORPG, so getting a look at that, we are going to do. You know, and let's just do this right now. I'm going to pop this up. We are going to watch Zoomania. I just want to let you guys get the feel for what is going on with this. Oh, look at that picture in picture, huh? Oh, I don't know if you guys can see it. Oh, you can see it. All right, you can. All right, so obviously the music is something that you want to kill immediately. It does look like it's geared around the younger generation, but this is a crypto game, right? Like this is a crypto game. Like, think of that. Like, it seems like it's really geared toward a young audience. But again, this is going to be a game where you can earn stuff on the blockchain. The next game I wanted to look at super quickly, another blockchain game that is in development, is Black Dawn. And this kind of looks cool. I'm going to let this roll. Let's hear this.
ここで君は狩人であり獲物でもある。おい。だけどこの町で私を突き動かすのは復讐だ。お遊びの時間だ。
All right, I like it. So these are games that are coming out that I think are going to be interesting. So I just wanted to show you kind of some stuff that is popping up on the radar. Again, the reason why you want to follow these blockchain games is not only does it tell the story of the chains that are underlying that people are building games on, but there's also these token launches that coincide with these games, whether they're a part of the game or they're going to be incorporated in some way in the future. There are opportunities to just absorb the news and react on it and make some smart choices about what might take off and what might not take off. Next up, we are going to talk about fashion and NFTs merging. So you can see on the screen, WOV Labs, okay? They are doing some interesting stuff with physicals. If you have been following my Substack, I used to do a lot of reporting on NFC chips because NFC chips are NFTs. They just haven't become one thing yet. And so WOV Labs is one of the people that I think is bridging this gap. They're basically putting tags in your physical clothing, and it's not about authenticating, but it's more about authenticating it. But if you can use this NFC chip as a record of being present at an event, wearing a certain piece of clothing, there are a bunch of interesting narratives that you can do with these garments that have these tags, whether it's tapping someone's NFC chip to get their information, proving you were at a party, getting VIP access, getting gifts sent to you at the party. There's a number of different narratives that all play into these NFC chips and how they're activated when you wear this clothing. I think it is absolutely awesome. Two of the people that they are currently working with are CryptoPunks and World of Women. They've created some kind of interesting physical pieces. And what's nice about this is these physical pieces are also Italian made. So they're trying to bring this really high-end quality tailored product to the ecosystem with technology woven into it. And I think it's absolutely brilliant. Next up, we have Somnia. So these guys are going to, well, they just announced this, but these guys are going to start working with Yuga Labs in a big way. And what they are basically doing is Somnia is a layer one blockchain. And the idea around this blockchain is it is an omni-chain. We hear about this a lot. When will it arrive? Is it here? Are companies like this capable of actually delivering this omni-chain experience? I talked about this at the beginning of the podcast. We are early until we stop saying onboarding. Omni-chain, when we talk about omni-chain, that is a step closer to onboarding. The end user doesn't care what chain they're on. They truly don't. They want the technology to work. If they see something, they want to purchase it. They want to buy it. Wallets, get your shit together. Make the UX UI seamless. We know where it's going. Omni-chain, right? That is a warning bell. Hey, we are moving toward better UX and UI. Omni-chain means it works everywhere, which means the end user doesn't care where it goes. I just want it to go there. So we are getting really close to this. I think it's interesting watching this stuff maneuver through the pike. Next up, we had the Giga Chad, Mr. Michael Saylor. He's caused some waves in the, I mean, he always causes waves in the community, right? But he is a Bitcoin maxi, and he recently came out with his Bitcoin ID, and he's gotten some interesting backlash on this, and I commented on this a couple episodes ago that I think it's interesting that the same people that give him shit for coming up with a Bitcoin ID are the same people that are creating ordinals, BIP20, Quant, you know, like all of these protocols on a blockchain. Who gets to say what protocol gets to be on Bitcoin? Nobody. That's why it's magic, right? So to watch people shit on his iteration of what he wants to do with the blockchain, it's a funny argument. And he also owns more Bitcoin than anybody in any country. So it's kind of his fucking blockchain now. I mean, it's not, but that, you know, like I think he wants to do an ID, he could do it, power to him. But he's also saying that he does see this need for continued regulatory, not pressure, but involvement. And whether this is done by them chasing us or us initiating things to them, neither of these things are really happening in an efficient manner, and it's causing just a lot of havoc. We've got Gensler and Elizabeth Warren spouting just absolute crap. We do have John Deaton. If you are interested, check out John Deaton because he is running against Senator Elizabeth Warren, and I am a fan of what he is doing. He's going to bring a bright light to the people in Washington. And I've said this before on my podcast, if you guys are going to vote, why don't you for the first time not vote partisan, not vote red, not vote blue, not vote Bible, not vote morals. Let's vote with your crypto wallet. And that sounds crazy. The reason I say that is because if we get crypto thinking individuals into the decision-making, power-making positions in Washington, D.C., to me, those people have the best chance at making a difference and doing things the correct way. They are thinking future forward. Their ideology may be different, but they are under the power of crypto, and they understand the transformative nature at play, right? That one playing card, to me, is enough to get them into a decision-making position. Because if they're sitting in a room with other idiots, they're going to have the opportunity to shed light on the situation with common sense. And that is what we're lacking in Washington. So this election presents an opportunity to vote with your crypto wallet. So that is one of the things that I am watching when we talk about Michael Saylor, talk about the need for continued intervention in our lives, whether it's intervention or just a better set of guidelines laid forward. I do agree with all of those things. He also is saying that he does believe that the SEC will approve the Ethereum ETF, whether they push it off like they normally do with big decisions. He does see it as something that will come to be. Next up, we have some bullish bets on Bitcoin. So I'm not sure where I stand at this moment. I'm a little torn between the narrative go away in May and this idea that the bullish sentiment has returned. And the technical analysis does speak in volumes, and most people are on the camp of saying that Bitcoin is going to move onward and up. My only hesitation is that did it lose some of its oomph, right? Like once the SEC said it's okay, we're going to make this ETF okay, now it's not in the news like it was before. It's in the news to us, but the normies, they're not talking about it on the financial channels. They're not talking about it on mainstream media. They're not talking about it in the elections. They're not talking about cryptocurrency, right? We hear about it because we highlight those stories because they're important to us. The normies aren't hearing anything about crypto at the moment. And that can be a good thing, right? This pause, this breath, it can be a good thing, but in my view, it could affect the trajectory of Bitcoin going up quicker than we think, right? So it is just something that I am keeping on my mind. Next up, we have Apple, and I'm going to play a video for Apple. Apple has done some interesting things. So supposedly there is this speculation that Apple has been involved in creating its own artificial intelligence to drive cars, and they have logged literally thousands of miles around Cupertino in Northern California testing out these cars. And the word that I'm kind of seeing in the news and like bits and pieces that I'm reading is that they are possibly scrapping this stuff, and they're going to move away from the car stuff, and they're going to do the AI, and it's going to become part of your telephone, and there's probably going to be new gadgets, whether it's a, have you guys seen it? There's a pin that you can wear, and it's an AI pin, and you tap it, and it's Google on your shirt, basically, but it's not super effective just yet. Apple is probably going to have the ability to deliver something very effective, and I've talked about this before. I think there is going to be an introduction of a new device for all of us. It's not going to be our phone, our laptop, our iPad. It's going to be a new device, and whether it increases our web speed, connectivity, whether it becomes part of our gaming portal, whether it becomes the brains for our augmented reality glasses, whether it becomes the AI that Apple's getting ready to possibly deliver into their ecosystem. I don't know. I see a need for another device. Think if you had this extra device and you put your AR, VR glasses on and you set this down in the room and it becomes spatial awareness. And it also delivers, like just high speed rate connectivity. It also is the brains for your AR, VR headset. So you don't need this clunky piece of machinery on your head because the brains are in this new device that, I don't know. I absolutely probably do sound crazy. So this morning when I reported on this, the Apple stuff, it was about this shift in AI, but Apple did release today, they released their new iPad, which is supposed to be absolutely the thinnest piece of technological machinery that they have released. They also released a really new iPad Pencil, which is supposed to be very intuitive in what it does. And I'm just gonna play this video now. We'll just get a look at it since we're here.
Introducing the all-new iPad Pro. It has the world's most advanced display, made possible with breakthrough tandem OLED technology, the Ultra Retina XDR. Precise contrast, jaw-dropping brightness,
look how bright
and brilliant
that is.
Color. But it's what you'll find inside the thinnest product we've ever created that really blows minds. The first ever M4 chip. Designed to be an AI powerhouse, it easily handles the most demanding pro apps and smoothly renders intense graphics.
I want one.
We've also engineered a new pencil, loaded
like,
with tech,
cool.
Haptics, and sensors. The first ever Apple Pencil Pro. Hover, squeeze, and barrel roll for limitless creativity.
I'll barrel roll.
There's a redesigned Magic Keyboard with a function row and haptic trackpad. It's sleeker, more portable, and forged from aluminum. Meet the game-changing, incredibly powerful, impossibly thin, all-new iPad Pro.
All right, so you get the picture. It looks pretty fantastical. Next up, before we get into some more news, I just want to, touch on the Pac-Moon ecosystem, because these guys are delivering jabs, punches, right hooks, left hooks, roundhouse kicks to the face. Like, these guys are just lighting up the ecosystem. And as you can see, I have not been very good at what I am doing. But there is stiff competition. Like, people with really large followers, like, people are helping each other out. Certain influencers are helping other people out. They're helping out with retweets, and that stuff goes a long way. For instance, to get a retweet from the Pac-Moon account goes a long way. So if you are a struggling account, right, aside from getting these glorified retweets, your tweet views are limited. So my views are about 5,367 at the moment, and Beeple will drop one, just hit millions. So the gaming is not easy, right? And if you've been following my podcast, when I got into this, because I had just gotten hacked, and I'm basically starting in this ecosystem with zero. So Pac-Moon seemed like a really interesting ecosystem to start doing some farming, and I did. So I got the first airdrop, and what did I do with the first airdrop? I didn't cash it out. I received my Pac-Moon, and so I did two things. One, I went to Wasabi, and I deposited all of my allocation from Pac-Moon into the Wasabi protocol, and I opened a 3x long. So I'm currently up 1,022% on that 3x long, which is awesome. And I am just not going to touch it. I'm watching it. I'm being careful, but I'm not. I don't have the liquidity to do a bunch of the things that the other people are doing, like this fantasy top and a bunch of these other things. I just don't have the liquidity, but I am trying to make smart, safe plays. So I have been able to, run this up. I think I'm up about half an ETH on this. And so I started with absolutely nothing. So I'm up 1,030%. It's generated about my P&L. Yeah, I don't know. I'm doing okay. I'm at about 0.665 Ethereum. So that makes me happy. So I have not had to do anything for this. I've laid out some tweets. I did some early videos, but I'm really just reinvesting what I get back into this ecosystem. This is also generating me points for Blast, and it's also generating me Wasabi points. And I like this protocol a lot, so I found it interesting. And then to just get back into some news that caught my eye for you guys. What do we have? Was there Apple? Oh, okay. So there is other stuff. So we are now looking at the fantasy top, right? And this is the ecosystem, one that everybody's putting a lot of time and energy into. It is trading cards for NFT influencers in this space, and it is an interesting narrative, and it's awesome because it requires the players to actually tweet and be active on the timeline, and if they're not, their card value drops and it causes people to lose. And so there are some tournaments that they set up for these cards, and it's been interesting to watch. As you can see, some of these cards, the number one influencer on Pac-Moon, Jen, her card is currently 14 Ethereum, right? She's number one. So that is, that's amazing. Seeing what these people are doing is really interesting. I think it is awesome to watch how Pac has just breathed so much life into this. And I'm going to touch on this super quick. I was in a space earlier today, and I was listening to this narrative, and people are talking about all of these different blockchains. And my thought about that is this, is we are not in this world. It's not Wayne and Garth's world, right? Where build it and they will come. You cannot build a blockchain. I don't care if it's got awesome TPS, good throughput, all this shit. Like, build it and they will come. They will not. You have to incentivize them. You have to put meat on the hook. You have to bait the hook. You have to bring the people. And how do you do it? Pac-Moon and Blast are absolutely amazing at creating a narrative and excitement and interest in these protocols. They are a storybook of how to tap into this market in this current ecosystem. I think it's awesome to watch what they're doing. Next up, what are we looking at? Next up, I wanted to show you guys. So it's interesting. There have been a bunch of the public mining companies. We knew this was going to kind of happen, that we were going to see these Bitcoin mining companies suffer post-halving. I think a lot of them got saved by kind of what is happening with the Runes protocol and that flurry of activity. But that activity has kind of died off. And currently, a lot of these miners are hurting. And this, the bite is setting in. If Bitcoin doesn't continue its trajectory, and post-halving, I think a lot of these companies were talking about between $68,000 and $74,000 needs to be their Bitcoin bottom line price for them to start breaking even. So will these companies have enough reserve to continue, right, pushing through this crab walk that I believe that we're going to do through the summer? Whether, right, Bitcoin, it might go up and might go down. Some of the people are saying we're looking at $100,000. I'll get into some of that in a minute. But if we don't, some of these mining companies are going to have a tough time, right? They've had to find more efficient ways to produce the Bitcoin, whether it's energy efficiency, moving to locations that have better rent, better narratives as far as regulations and the government. The hunt is on for better efficiency. And watching the price crab walk sideways is not what these mining companies want to see. So watching them navigate this difficult period is going to be interesting, and it will be very telling. It will also open an opportunity, in my view, to invest in some of the mining companies that are going to do well. Because with this added stress to the ecosystem, I look at it like we're going to see which horses actually run better, right? Which have figured out how to be more efficient, more nimble, and roll with the punches better. Which companies have more of a reserve that I think it's going to become evident sooner than later. So this is something I am keeping my eye on. We have analyst Kevin Svensson. He is one of the people that is calling Bitcoin to just go parabolic. He is saying that we are going to hit the $90,000 mark fairly quickly. And what's interesting, he's got some charts up here. He talks about on the daily MACD, we've got a breakout. On the daily RSI, we've got a breakout. And on the chart, we've got just a breakout as far as looking at the 618 ratio. So looking at these charts, it does look like we are poised for some movement to the north side. So it is kind of on schedule as far as the charts go. I think everybody was hoping that post-halving, combined with the SEC approval, and now we've got positive flow from Hong Kong and their ETF, that we would have a bit more traction. And my concern and my statement is that we don't, right? Interest may be ramping up a bit, but is it there yet? Next up, I am pulling up a chart. Everybody is calling for the same thing. We have Cred. He is an analyst, and he is super bullish on the Pepe coin at the moment. So I think that is worth talking about. We also are watching, there's a good analysis that he does watching Pepe compared to Doge and Bonk, and which one of these coins will be the front runner, which is the easy place to put some money in for your bet to move forward. And a lot of people are leaning on Dogecoin, and it seems silly, but it seems like such an easy play. And if Elon goes full bore with putting Doge into the ecosystem, it could happen at any time. Like, it will literally go parabolic. So I love Dogecoin at the moment. I have a bullish outlook on it. I think it is going to be a performer. I also think when it hits a dollar, it is time to take your profits with everything and just step back for a minute, because a correction will be coming. At $1, I think the fever will be so heightened that we'll be in that extreme greed zone. So that is one of the things that I'm watching. Next up, we have this guy. His name is Rostin Benerman, and he is the CFTC chairman. He is also one of the people touting the horn, saying regulation is coming. He is coming for your coins. They put a bunch of coins on the hit list. Is this something that worries you? All these people are trying to promote a more stable environment, whether they have the ability to deliver it or not. It's scary to see different narratives approach fixing the problems. And that is another reason why I want crypto native people in Washington so they can sit in these rooms where they're having discussions about policy, and smart people that understand crypto can bring light and wisdom into how these people look at things. And last up, we are looking at Cred. This is his banner. He is just super bullish on Pepe. Put these just on your DYOR list. You know, like what I like to do is even paper trade these things. Put some price points on a chart today and check them in a week. See if you should have invested. Get a feel for how the market moves. What is happening? Wrecked Capital. Yeah, I mean, just everybody's kind of got the same stuff going on. We are expected to see Bitcoin difficulty hit its biggest drop since the FTX collapse. So, I mean, there's some interesting narratives underplaying all this stuff. The secret sauce for today is one of my favorite Latin proverbs. Si nullus ventus ordu, which means if there is no wind, row! Remember, the rabbit hole runs deep. Still craving crypto clarity? Please subscribe to my Substack today. Tell your friends. It's awesome. I don't know. Lie to them. Whatever. I put it out. It's out every day by 7 a.m. I'd appreciate it. That's about it. Remember, rare bits may cause hodling.